This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're expecting someone to call on the phone, Terry Beatley, and she's going to talk to us about, yes, she's here. Welcome, Terry.
Hi, Father.
Hi, Terry.
I'm looking forward to our talk today.
Tell me what you're involved with.
He said, tell you what I'm involved with. Well, just something really small. Actually, I'm joking. In 2009, in a prayer vigil in Virginia, I was asking the Lord what he wanted me to do with all the research about Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger and her eugenics endeavor. Just through prayer, I believed I heard the Lord tell me, go interview Dr. Bernard Nathanson. And I knew who Nathanson was. I had read one of his books, but I certainly didn't think Dr. Nathanson would ever say yes to an interview. But that prayer ended up sending me to New York City to interview Dr. Nathanson and making him an audacious promise to deliver the truth that he left behind all across America until it becomes common knowledge.
Tell us about Dr. Nathanson.
Yeah, Dr. Nathanson, when I met him, he was 83 years old, and that was back in 2009. He passed away in February of 2011, but he was the father of America's industry of abortion, who followed the science of real-time ultrasound, and which led him to become 100% pro-life, and then later, he didn't know what to do with all of his guilt and his shame and all of that, and he ended up with a Catholic priest spiritual director for 5 years. And what most Americans don't know, including most Catholics, Father, that the father of America's abortion industry not only became pro-life, but he was baptized Catholic on December 8, 1996. And he left behind a very special message when I interviewed him on December 1st, 2009. And that is what I am about through the ministry called Hosea Initiative. Hosea, like the book in the Bible.
Yes.
And I named it that because of Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Yes, sir.
Yes, it's real. It's real. That's why we're on the radio. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us some more.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. I love your open questions. well, what I've learned over the years since shaking Dr. Nathanson's hand, and actually even before I met Dr. Nathanson, I had become basically a pro-life activist at more of a later age. I think I was like 38 years old when I made, through research, I began learning about Planned Parenthood's Negro Project, which was Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, her plan to eradicate the black race from at least the United States of America, which she implemented. They formed this back in 1939. And I was so shocked about this, I called a black minister in Virginia, and I asked him for a three-hour appointment so he and I could watch a film, a documentary about the real history of Planned Parenthood. And I remember that day, I'll never forget this. Well, he did say, yes, I'll give you a three-hour appointment. He was a bit shocked I asked for so much time. We watched that movie together for 2.5 hours. And at the end, I asked the pastor, a Protestant minister, and I said, Pastor, what do you think? And he said, I'll tell you what I think. I will never again vote for a pro-abortion candidate for as long as I live. For if I do, I'm voting to annihilate my own race. And furthermore, I now get it. Abortion is wrong. So that was my beginning. That was about 6 months before the Lord instructed me to go interview Dr. Nathanson. And so what me and my team of volunteers at Jose Initiative have discovered over the years is that, number one, life leads. Life leads. If we know how to fight this battle, people will put aside their political party affiliations. They will put away their preconceived notions on different things, and we unite on life. And I literally proved it before I ever set up the organization Jose Initiative. So after going back to this, I made Dr. Nathanson an audacious promise. So when I interviewed him on December 1st, 09, which again was about 6 or 7 months after sitting down with the black minister in Virginia, and at the end of the interview, I said, Dr. Nathanson, if you have a message for America, and if you tell me what it is, I promise you I will deliver it across our country until it becomes common knowledge or until Roe v. Wade is overturned. And I didn't know, he was 83, he was dying of cancer, he was terminally ill, and he was very, very frail, very sad. It was a very, very somber interview because he knew what he was leaving behind, this culture of death that we are dying in right now. We're up to our eyeballs in this culture of death. And Dr. Nathanson looked at me, and I didn't know if he was going to say, Terry, you pro-lifers take it from here, but he didn't, Father. He looked at me, and he said, yes. He said, teach the strategy of how I deceived America. Mm. And it's an 8-point strategy, which I hope we have time to go over. And then he said, tell America that the co-founder of NARAL, and for those of you who don't know, NARAL is the first pro-abortion political action organization that he co-founded, which is still in existence today. All right. He said, tell America that the co-founder of NARAL says to love one another. Abortion is not love. Stop the killing. The world needs more love. And I'm all about love now. And I'll never forget that quote. His wife was standing there right beside me because the interview was over because he was very exhausted. And I shook Dr. Nathanson's hand, which honestly, I think that's why I've never quit trying to fulfill this promise, because I shook the man's hand and I promised him I would never quit till we get the job done. And so Amen. We know Roe v. Wade is overturned, but now the issue has been pushed down to the states, whether we like it or not, right? But I mean, the only saving grace in this is at least now we've got an opportunity to change hearts, and nobody can hide behind Roe v. Wade. It's Amen. If we can implement, we can lift the veil of deception, Father. And that's why I was very, very grateful that Cardinal Sean O'Malley made those the big video with me about a year or so ago. It was in January, time fly. Yeah, a year and a half ago. Which that's posted up on YouTube, and hopefully people are pushing it. And that's what we need. We need, you know, at least the Catholic audience of this show to take that video and make it go viral. Here yes. we're coming down to the wire where, you know, and this isn't about political parties, but there is something really clear that every American Catholic needs to wrap their head around, that there are people who are promoting killing God's children all 9 months of pregnancy, Father. And there should be no American Catholic, no Catholic, ever, ever supporting such an atrocity. And so if the father of the abortion industry can become 100% unequivocally pro-life, there is nothing, there is no reason why any Catholic cannot say, humble him or herself, my God, I've gotten this issue wrong. And all we say is learn the legacy, learn the story, and then ask God, what does he want you to do? Does he want you to support a culture of death or go support a culture of life?
Culture of life. Culture of life. We live in a culture of death. We live in that culture. Unfortunately, we've not only chosen abortion, we've chosen killing people at the end of their lives, starving people, culture of death. and no one talks about it. No one talks about it.
No one does, but we are, and you are. And I praise the Lord that there are other people, but most people are blinded. Most people are blinded, and you can even see and feel the deception when we start talking about, well, it's okay to kill a baby, the first 20 weeks of pregnancy, because supposedly the baby doesn't feel pain. I mean, it's okay to kill a baby up to that point, but after that, it feels pain. Well, it's like, no, we're taking human life, and that baby was made in the image and likeness of God.
That's
and
right.
There are so many, and that alone is the reason why we are not to kill human life. But then as we step in, we start wrapping our head around this. It's like, well, there's so many people who want babies. There is many people who are infertile today as there are that people who want a brand new little infant. And for goodness sakes, we're slaughtering God's children. So I'm a Catholic revert. I was baptized Catholic as an infant, poorly catechized, married a Methodist man. We did everything wrong, okay? And I'm very transparent about this. I went on the birth control pill not even knowing that the birth control pill was an abortifacient. It causes abortion, right? If that baby is conceived, there's no place for that baby to latch on to, when the mother is on the birth control pill. So with that being said, I didn't understand, anything about this. But later on, the Lord brought, as I'm working on the promise I made to Dr. Nathanson to teach America, God leads me to Chicago to meet the priest who the Lord used to bring Dr. Nathanson into the Catholic Church.
Amen.
And after the interview, Father McCloskey said, Terry, would you like to get a tour of the beautiful, I think it was a basilica, if I'm not mistaken, in Chicago? It had burned in a fire, and then it had recently been restored. And I said, sure. Well, I go beep-bopping out there with the priest, kneel down at the altar, and the priest, and in prayer, I heard so clearly the Lord say, Terry, you're home. And I could see the word home with my eyes closed. It was like a capital H. And I knew that meant home in the Catholic Church. And as a Catholic woman, I would carry this message across our nation. And that was my reversion. I believe that was back in 2014. Time flies. I think it was 2014. So here's my point, Father, is that if the Dr. Nathanson, when he was an atheist and actively deceiving America with a lie that abortion is women's health care, they implemented this 8-point strategy to deceive enough American voters so that they would always go into the voting booth and vote pro-choice or pro-abortion. They needed enough of them. But the group that Dr. Nathanson focused on the most regarding the political vote was Catholics. And so the 8th point of the strategy, they, meaning Dr. Nathanson and his fellow atheist co-founder of NARAL, Lawrence Lader, they formed what they called the Catholic Strategy in 1968. Why? Because these two atheist men who lived in New York City knew that if they could not deceive enough Catholic voters in New York and beyond, the political victory would be very ephemeral. It would be very short-lived, because they knew if Catholics caught on, they could persuade the media to join their team, and they could overcome any of the political victory. So they first were setting out to overcome a 140-year-old pro-life law that had been on the books in the state of New York for 140 years. And using this 8-point strategy of deception, they flipped that law in 18 months. And they flipped it because they deceived enough Catholic voters. And can I go over the four parts of the Catholic strategy?
Sure.
Okay. Because I've done enough public speaking on this in Catholic audiences, and even if they're 100% pro-life Catholic audiences, most people are gasping because they had no idea that this was a stealthy, you know, demonic strategy to deceive Catholic voters, starting first in New York, and then it went to all 50 states. So it was designed to manipulate and ultimately, you know, much of the American culture to advance legalized abortion. So the first thing NARAL did, and NARAL is the first pro-abortion political action organization, is they blamed the Catholic hierarchy, particularly bishops, anytime a woman was had died or was maimed due to complications of illegal abortion. So it was always the Catholic hierarchy fault. Many times that included the local level priests, but for sure they went after the tip of the spear, and it was Catholic bishops got the blame. The second thing they did is NARAL supported with a marketing efforts Catholic politicians and candidates who softened their stances against abortion. It didn't matter if they're Democrat, Republican, Green Party, Purple Party, Independent. It made no difference to NARAL. As long as that person was a Catholic politician or candidate and they would begin to soften their position, NARAL would get behind them with political force and knock doors and anything else they did back then. Third, NARAL split Catholics into two camps. And Dr. Nathanson, in one of his books, literally described it as what I'm going to say. They, meaning he and Lawrence Lader, recognized Catholics as two different camps. One was the Kennedy-style Catholics who were being true to the magisterium that we should not support abortion in any way. But then versus the Kennedy-style Catholics who distanced themselves between the magisterium, just like President Kennedy did. Yes, I'm president, but I'm not going to let, you know, how I was raised and what I've been taught influence what I do politically, versus those who were trying to be faithful to the Catholic teaching. So here are these two atheist men in New York. They recognized the Catholic Church as the bulwark that they had to try to implode. And what did that do? You know, over years, they won. So between the birth control pill coming out in 1968, lots of Catholics getting onto the pill, then them pushing Catholics into thinking that, you know, you can be, and that was the fourth part, which was called the Catholic straddle. So they would say, look, Mr. and Mrs. Catholic, we know you're not, you don't like abortion, and you think that, you know, it's bad, and maybe, you know, you're believing what the church says, but it's okay to vote for a pro-abortion candidate. So you can have, it's like both, you know, straddling the fence. So yes, you can be pro-life, but yes, you can believe that women have the right to choose, and you can vote for those candidates who believe women have the right to choose. Well, as a Catholic revert, Father, this is what's destroying America. Because if Catholics cannot get this issue right, we will lose our nation. It rests in what Catholics are going to do. We're either going to get in there and we're going to go vote for a culture of death, or we're going to say, God, I repent for my apathy. That's one thing, because God tells us how we're going to save our nation, how to heal a nation, 2 Chronicles 7:14. There hasn't been the repentance. And so, Father, I know I'm talking probably too much. I'm going to zip my lips here in 30 seconds. May the repentance from American Catholics happen between now and voting day in November, okay? We need to be repenting for our apathy, that Amen. We cared more about what we're going to thaw out for dinner than the slaughter of God's children. Number two, I call it willful ignorance, pretending that it's really not a baby. You know, those days are over. Real-time ultrasound proved that we're talking about a human life. And then the third thing to repent for, you know, it's and or, if someone has had an abortion, well, my gosh, repent for the abortion. If somebody pushed a girlfriend or a wife to go have an abortion 10, 20, 30 years ago, repent for doing that. And we must repent if this is you, that if you've ever voted, supported pro-abortion, and when I say pro-abortion, these are candidates who are for slaughtering God's children. We must repent.
Amen.
For me, my repentance was I had to repent for being so apathetic. I just didn't know anything about it, didn't think it had anything to do with my life. I just knew I would never go have an abortion, Father. So I pray this pricks the heart of people listening to this airway, and I hope you go share it. So Father, that's the Catholic strategy.
Amen. Amen. We have been apathetic. Planned Parenthood kills children. We were at Planned Parenthood outside praying, and there was a truck that came to take the parts of the babies, arms and legs and heads. And I said to the man, you people are going to pick up dead baby parts, arms and legs and heads. This is evil. This is evil. This is evil that we kill our children and then even sometimes use some of their for perfume or other things. Nuts, how evil we have become. And God calls us to repent for not doing anything. That people right now at Planned Parenthood, women are killing their children today. And here we are. We just had breakfast. I have a glass of water in front of me. Oh, yes, as long as we're okay. It's time for us to say no more. I'm getting involved in this. I'm going to start praying that God change these hearts of these politicians. It's not pro-choice. It's pro-death. It's pro-death. It's for killing, and not only killing a baby, but killing part of a woman, because the woman's body knows this is a child, and some part of her dies every time there is an abortion.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I'd like to invite all of your listeners to something that we did a couple weeks ago. And I just hope and pray people will join us again. It was so successful. So the Hosea Boston team, you know, Hosea, we've got a number of people who are very supportive of Hosea Initiative out of Massachusetts. And so we gave a special training, I did, for about 45 minutes plus, you know, 10, 15 minutes for Q&A. But now we want to open it up to anybody. So I gave a presentation to a number of priests, and there were also some Protestant ministers on there, as well as different ministry leaders. Well, now anybody is welcome to come hear about this. So if you can, so everybody pull out a paper and pencil. It's on Tuesday, October 22nd, and then I'll repeat it again live on Thursday, the 24th. From 2 p.m. Eastern to 3 p.m. Eastern, and I will give a live presentation on the legacy of Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who he was and who he became. It's an amazing, it's a condensed version of his odyssey, both his ethical odyssey, his medical odyssey. It's ethical, medical, and for some reason I'm blanking on the other one, but it's a triangle, and it's just I tell the story of his whole how did he go from becoming a wanting to be a doctor to turning into an abortionist to turning into a strong pro-life leader who wanted to set America free from his propaganda. So I encourage it. So the way you can get the Zoom link is you need to email the following email address. So send your request to get the link, and this is free. There's no charge. Send it to Hosea Boston. I'll say it, and then I'll spell it. Hosea Boston at HoseaForYou.org. So let me spell that. So it's Hosea Boston, just like the book in the Bible, H-O-S as in Sam, E-A, Boston, Hosea Boston at Hosea, H-O-S-E-A, the number 4, and then YOU.org. Hosea Boston at HoseaForYou.org. You'll get asked for the Zoom link for the October 22nd and or 24th training on the history of Dr. Bernard Nathanson and his amazing odyssey of conversion.
Amen. We only have 15 seconds. Father, people are going to Planned Parenthood today. Would you send the Holy Spirit upon these women that they would save their children in Jesus' name? God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. In Season and Out of Season.